The Baron of Grogsvig by Charles Dickens. The Baron von Koldwethout of Grogsvig in Germany was as likely a young baron as you would wish to see. I needn't say that he lived in a castle, because that's of course. Neither need I say that he lived in an old castle, for what German baron ever lived in a new one? There were many strange circumstances connected with this venerable building, among which, not the least startling and mysterious, were that when the wind blew, it rumbled in the chimneys, or even howled among the trees in the neighbouring forest, and that when the moon shone, she found her way through certain small loopholes in the wall, and actually made some parts of the wide halls and galleries quite light, while she left others in gloomy shadow. I believe that one of the Baron's ancestors, being short of money, had inserted a dagger in a gentleman who called one night to ask his way, and it was supposed that these miraculous occurrences took place in consequence. And yet I hardly know how that could have been, either, because the Baron's ancestor, who was an admirable man, felt very sorry afterwards for having been so rash, and laying violent hands upon a quantity of stone and timber which belonged to a weaker baron, built a chapel as an apology, and so took a receipt from heaven, in full of all demands. Talking of the baron's ancestor puts me in mind of the baron's great claims to respect on the score of his pedigree. I am afraid to say, I am sure, how many ancestors the baron had, but I know that he had a great many more than any other man of his time. And I only wish that he had lived in these latter days, that he might have had more. It is a very hard thing upon the great men of past centuries that they should have come into the world so soon, because a man who was born 300 or 400 years ago cannot reasonably be expected to have had as many relations before him as a man who is born now. The last man, whoever he is, and he may be a cobbler or some low, vulgar dog for aught we know, will have a longer pedigree than the greatest nobleman now alive, and I contend that this is not fair. Well, but the Baron von Koldwethout of Grogsvig. He was a fine, swarthy fellow, with dark hair and large mustachios, who rode a-hunting in clothes of Lincoln green, with russet boots on his feet, and a bugle slung over his shoulder, like the guard of a long stage. When he blew this bugle, 24 other gentlemen of inferior rank, in Lincoln green a little coarser, and russet boots with a little thicker soles, turned out directly, and away galloped the whole train, with spears in their hands like lacquered area railings. To hunt down the boars, or perhaps encounter a bear, in which latter case the Baron killed him first and greased his whiskers with him afterwards. This was a merry life for the Baron of Grogsvig, and a merrier still for the Baron's retainers, who drank Rhine wine every night till they fell under the table, and then had the bottles on the floor and called for pipes. Never were such jolly, roistering, rollicking, merry-making blades as the jovial crew of Grogsvig. But the pleasures of the table, or the pleasures of under the table, require a little variety, especially when the same 25 people sit daily down to the same board to discuss the same subjects and tell the same stories. The Baron grew weary and wanted excitement. He took to quarrelling with his gentlemen and tried kicking 2 or 3 of them every day after dinner. This was a pleasant change at first, but it became monotonous after a week or so, and the Baron felt quite out of sorts and cast about in despair for some new amusement. One night, after a day's sport, in which he had outdone Nimrod or Gillingwater, and slaughtered another fine bear, and brought him home in triumph, the Baron von Koldwethout sat moodily at the head of his table, eyeing the smoky roof of the hall with a discontented aspect. He swallowed huge bumpers of wine, but the more he swallowed, the more he frowned. The gentleman who had been honoured with the dangerous distinction of sitting on his right and left imitated him to a miracle in the drinking, and frowned at each other.